Any further public comment? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Recognize Representative Ehrlich.
Technically, two things. Number one is that this is me giving you notice that I will be moving next week to rescind Resolution 43. Per Robert's rules, I need to do that in order to lower the threshold if I make the motion next week. And also, I'm moving this week to rescind Resolution 43 right now, which my understanding is that the threshold will be instead of a majority of present members, a majority of the body. Is that correct?
A majority of voting membership or two-thirds of present.
Something tells me a majority of voting membership would be a better way to proceed. So I'm gonna go with that one.
Okay, noted. Yes, there are three avenues for this motion, which I did have to research this morning and email Representative Ehrlich about because I'm not familiar with it and I have my trusty book with me. With that in mind, with you having made this motion, is there a second on the motion to rescind Resolution 43? Okay, there is a second. Is there dissent? Dissent. Okay, there's dissent. We'll now go into debate on this motion. Representative Ehrlich, you have right of response because you have made the motion. Correct. I'm just saying you do have right of response after. Like with every other debate. Okay, Representative Ehrlich, open debate.
Didn't recognize me. She told me a thing.
All right, so just because we called it Resolution 43 and didn't say which resolution it was, I'll just let everyone know. This is last week's resolution about special projects funding. I think the people who have been thinking about what to do with this over the past week, like, I think they believe this too. I think we do need for sure to work on our process around special projects funding. I even agree with what Steven said about it earlier to some extent. Like we're giving money out to people way too much, right? And that's absolutely true. But also a really big part of our special projects funding is giving money to groups that support historically marginalized groups, especially in a pre-professional setting. And I don't want us to accidentally essentially preclude ourselves from giving out that money. So I'm proposing that we rescind this, not because I don't think we should do something about the special project situation. I'm proposing we rescind this because I think we do need to do something about the special project situation, and I want it to be the right thing, not the rushed thing. So I hope you guys will vote to rescind this so that we can do a proper process for figuring out how to deal with our special project situation.
Representative Secker.
Yeah, I think I completely disagree. I mean, we had a vote on it. People have spoken essentially in favor during public comment of, restricting the public projects, special projects fund. And I think, I don't think Ishan's here today, but I'm sure he would speak in agreement with me on the fact that we should really not be reopening this can of worms. We spent so much time arguing and debating and discussing it, and the resolution passed. I think, I simply don't think we should reopen this can of worms and go back to changing it because it is honestly quite ridiculous, and it'll probably just leave it open to more reinterpretation and take even longer. And all the while, more special projects funds will be applied, and we have yet to say no to, I think, any of them. So I really don't think we should reopen this. I think what's we passed it. If there's a, I think what would be a better idea would to take a straw poll of the members of the assembly, and if you have a if you if there's a majority of people that want to see this issue reopened next week, we should do that. But I don't think we should be spending our time, worrying about past and finished business.
I'll use my right
All
of
right,
response.
wait, point of inquiry. Sorry, just wanted to point out I am on Zoom.
I didn't know.
Oh, what's up,
Sorry, Ishan.
Ishan? Can I? I'm going to use my right of response. I don't know if that was a point of inquiry, but like, fair enough, dude. But I'll use my right of response. Admir, I respect you. I respect your position on this. But, the fact is that we talked about this last week, but we kind of rushed, and we especially rushed through Zora's amendment. Not like we kind of ran out of time. And I think that we didn't fully explore the potential consequences of this. And I think we should, when we re, you know, sort of essentially redo this in a way that I think will be more equitable and less rushed. I want us, I, one more time, I want us to have a process that's much better than what we had before for special projects. But the one we have right now is going to exclude people that are very important for us to support. And I just can't stand behind that. I simply cannot.
Representative Galperin.
I really do appreciate everything you're saying, so thank you for bringing it up, Representative Ehrlich. What I would say is I think we're better off patching the holes that you see in the resolution. I think we're better off patching those holes rather than just rescinding the whole thing. Ultimately, the process has to start somewhere, and the first step in any process is never perfect. So what I would say, we have another, what was your resolution that you introduced? We had, yeah. Point being, several members introduced a resolution which I think seeks to fill some of those holes, and I think we're better off moving forward on filling those holes rather than just starting from scratch.
I'll say a briefer thing this time, don't worry. I'll just say, like, patching the holes theoretically is great. The only problem is that President Kotlikoff has the right to accept our first resolution and reject any future ones that try to quote unquote patch the holes. And like, just in case that happens, I think it's better to rescind and then make something new. Just because we don't want to accidentally have our own will be undercut by the fact that we can't necessarily get the holes patched.
Just as a chair's note, standing rules edits are essentially they do not have to approved. No, the stand that was standing rules. Special projects funding only exists in the standing rules. So standing rule stuff is all internal. It doesn't have any approval mechanism through the president, the university.
I'm wrong, but we should still rescind it.
Representative Massoud.
Yeah, I honestly agree with Max. I do think that we should rescind it. I think that it's fair that yeah, it can be the start of that could have been the start of the process, and now we have a bunch of other things that are going to help the process. But I feel like submitting 16 resolutions to try and fix a problem is just an inefficient way when we could take this back and come together and actually I don't know, we can have some meetings about it. We can create a resolution that has very, very clear outlines on the special projects funds after we all talk about it. And I just think that Resolution 57, for instance, is amazing, but it's patching a hole that we made last week that doesn't need to be there.
Vice President Watkins.
I think something I want to recognize that we didn't talk about as much last week is the standing rules are rewritten every year. And so this amendment literally is only for the remainder of this year. And I think it'd be really valuable for us to be able to see how we proceed throughout this year as like a test, or even maybe not the entire year, maybe patching up the holes later. But I think there's value in us to see if a lot of these issues do arise. And if those issues do arise, then we fix the holes. But yeah.
I'll just say, it's February, we got a couple months of special projects funding. Like, if this takes us an extra week, like, I think it's worth it to get it right. And we have a resolution on the calendar 57, so like, if we can use that as a vehicle even to fix the process and make a proper one, but only if we rescind the thing that makes the process that's going to be inequitable. Yeah. So, like, vote to rescind, guys. Yeah.
Representative Chaudhuri.
Hi. Sorry. I like high key have a fever, so I'm at home today. But I didn't want to leave people hanging who I was presenting with. For this entire process, I think I hold the same philosophy that I held last week, which is that I think it's just a pure philosophical difference between people who believe that these organizations should get money can be open, or people who believe that even restrictive organizations can get the money as well. I'm very happy to go through with the vote if people's minds change over the past week. But what I would encourage the sponsors for all of the Resolution 57 is that the reason why we have a second reading calendar and a third reading calendar is because of people can go and change it. So instead of us having to go through and do this now, I think a much more efficient process would have been if people reached out and said, like, hey, I have a problem with this resolution, rather than just bringing it up in the meeting and now springing this on everyone in assembly again. I'm personally very okay with people voting on it. If people disagree philosophically about it, like, sure, totally fine. But I will say, I think one of the most important parts of the resolution was the part that everybody agreed with, which was the that Hayden had to go and add like kind of like standardizations for how different organizations should charge food, should charge travel, and things like that. And I think that honestly is an even more important part of the resolution versus like everything else that we're talking about over here. So I would be very careful to just kind of go and say scrap everything we did because I personally don't believe it's all bad. I actually believe it's all good, but I totally respect the difference in philosophies.
I'll just say, Ishan, if this does get rescinded, please send that. If you would like, you because I don't think you can propose amendments, please send that portion to me. I would love to include that part that we you just mentioned as an oh, he left the Zoom. Well,
Wait,
that's
I'm
not happening.
here. Like,
Oh, okay. You just turn
I
off.
just like pop off, yeah.
Okay, that's totally fine. Or I don't know. He's there. That's good. You can send me that portion. I'd be happy to make that as an amendment to Resolution 57. I think that the part about standardizing is great. But we should still rescind this because we need a process that's fair instead of the process that we passed. I'll move to close debate.
Second. We just had to closing debate. Okay, seeing none, debate is now closed. We'll go into voting on this motion. All those in favor of the motion to rescind, please raise your placards. Rescind Resolution 43, please raise your placards. That is a vote of 15 in favor. All those opposed? Well, then, all those abstaining. In a vote of 15-11-1, the motion does still fail because the majority of the seated membership is 17. So that is the number needed for this to have passed in this meeting. Because Representative Ehrlich has provided previous notice, he can try again next week, and there will be a different number to hit at that time. Okay. Moving past public hearings, we are now in. Oh, Representative Masood.
I would like to motion to appeal the decision of the chair and add a resolution onto the agenda for second reading calendar. I guess it would be numbered 61, and it's titled Calling for the Termination of Cornell University's Partnership with the Technion, Israel Institute of Technology, While Preserving Cornell Tech.
For context on my decision, which I am allowed to present at per Robert's rules, I made the decision to not put this on our calendar and instead refer Representative Masood to the Graduate Professional Student Assembly because Cornell Tech is a graduate student institute, like arm of Cornell University, and so with no indication that graduate students had been consulted. Or that the Graduate Student Assembly had given any input, taken any votes, considered a similar resolution. I did not believe that it was within our purview as an undergraduate student representing organization and governing body to recognize something on graduate students. Now, go into, let me just check Robert's rules on problem.
Can I do a point of information?
What? More information? Yeah.
Can I ask, is that somewhere in our bylaws or charter?
Our charter does have a charge of like that out. Yeah, you can read our
Does
charter. Sorry,
anything in
let me not
does it
paraphrase.
include a process by which things can be removed from the second reading calendar and not placed on the second reading calendar?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit unclear, and this is just kind of like honestly a situation in which if it's being appealed, it might have to be a two-thirds majority overruling of Zora's decision. But basically, when you introduce a resolution, you file it with the president and the executive board, and essentially, like, that's how it gets introduced. But there's nothing in our charter specifically that says how the filing is approved. So that's why I think Zora is referring to Robert's rules.
I guess what I was asking, my point of information, and maybe it wasn't quite clear what I was asking, does it say specifically in the bylaws or charter that there's a process by which the president or vice president may reject a resolution from going on to one of our reading calendars.
No.
Thank you.
Point of order. Do we have to ask for second consent? For seconds that was sent to that motion? No.
What motion?
She just motioned to recuse Zara's decision.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a second for the motion? Appeals is that. Okay, is there dissent?
Dissent.
Okay, now in debate on the motion. Representative Galperin.
Well, first and foremost, because the answer for me is no, other than Yasmin, who introduced it. Has anyone actually had a chance to read this resolution? I don't know that we should add something to the calendar that no one has read. Can you give me a second? In any case, what I think, if anything, we'd be better off doing would be putting it on the second reading calendar for next week. But I do agree with this idea that we ought not to be almost speaking over the grad students. I think if they have something to say about it first, we can come back about it. I don't think we should speak for them before they've spoken for themselves.
Okay. I have right to response, correct? Okay. Well, for one, nobody's read anything that's on second reading calendar. We have second reading calendars so that we can all review the resolutions together. So it's not like you would be getting the resolution the same day, the same way, like a lot of times resolutions get dropped in the box the same day or the day before. And I think additionally, like with the grad students, I think that's completely fair. I think that like I definitely want to have the grad students' input on this. It directly affects them in a lot of ways. But I don't think that necessarily means that we can't get the conversation started. And I don't think that means that we can't have them be involved later on in the process. I do think that this is worth us talking about. And I do think that this partnership affects undergraduate students as well. There are plenty of there are undergrads who go and do research at Cornell Tech. There are undergrads who go and go on to go to Cornell Tech after graduating from here. Like it's still a Cornell campus. It's still related to our undergraduate image and representation. And it's still a school that we work with and that undergrads are at, like actively at. So I do think that it's still worth us talking about too.
Okay, wait, I found the portion in Robert's rule where this is all explained and procedures explained. So moving past the must be seconded portion, because we've hit that point, it is debatable unless it A, relates to indecorum or transgression of the rules of speaking, relates to priority of business, or is made when an indebatable question is immediately pending or involved in appeal, which none of those apply here. So when an appeal is debatable, no member is allowed to speak more than once except the presiding officer, who need not leave the chair while so speaking, but should stand. The first time the chair speaks in debate on the appeal, he is entitled to preference over other members seeking recognition. He can answer arguments against the decision or give additional reasons by speaking a second time at the close of the debate. He may announce his intention to speak in rebuttal and ask if there are others who wish to speak first. Even when the appeal is not debatable, the chair, well, that doesn't apply here. And then this is not amendable, and a majority or tie vote sustains the decision of the chair on the principle that the chair's decision stands until reversed by a majority. If the presiding officer is a member of the assembly, he can vote to create a tie and thus sustain his decision. So replace all the he's with she's, and that's this. So I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, Representative Galperin has spoken. Representative Massoud has spoken. Who else, has anyone else spoken on this yet? We've spoken in debate on it. That's a point of inquiry. That's not. That the point of inquiry doesn't count in like debate on this. So I won't add your name. Okay. So it should just be everyone. So now, re-entering. Vice President Young.
Thank you. I think everything should have the chance of like being presented to the assembly, a part of conversation. I understand the chair's point that this is not within our purview, but a lot of things that we suggest aren't in our purview. So I don't feel like that argument is not exclusive. And in regards of like philosophical disagreements with the resolution, I think that everything is worth the conversation. Like we should have the opportunity to talk about it.
Executive Vice President Flynn.
I second what Vice President Young said, mainly because just if there's any involvement of undergraduate students, I feel like it is our job as a student assembly representing undergraduate students to have some type of discussion about it. But I just really feel like that if it's going to involve any undergraduate students, then we have the right and the duty to actually discuss that, even if it's involving them and it's only one student.
Representative Ehrlich.
I was once accused during a meeting of this body of trying to usurp the power of the Student Assembly Charter, and I think this is much closer to being that. And with due respect for the chair, by the way, are you supposed to stand? Is that the rule? I'm not gonna make I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, like I just want everyone here to be very clear about this. Like, essentially, like what we have said for the entire year is when someone submits a resolution, we all have the right to see it. And if we think that resolution is some stupid crap, we will table it indefinitely. We will table it for a week. We will do whatever we want with it. But what has been taken from us right now is our right to view this resolution on the second reading calendar. And I invite the chair, President Durham, to go ahead and tell us why she thinks that it's stupid for us to be considering it. And honestly, I don't think it's like a terrible argument at all. I just think that we should be defending our right to see this resolution because Representative Galperin was absolutely right. No one has read it. No one has read it, and we all should have the right to see it. And if we want to table it for gazillion weeks after that, then we can do it. So yeah, I'm definitely voting in favor of the motion to overrule the chair, and I think we all should, but not because of what we think about the resolution, but because of what we think about our rights as members of this assembly.
Representative Spector.
All right, I guess this is more of a question, but let's just say that we overturn this, we bring it to there, and we pass it. Is that even like could that even go on, or is it still against our like assembly rules? So if we voted yes, would that just stay nowhere?
If this was overturned, it would be put on second reading calendar.
No, I meant like if on third reading calendar we voted yes, like if it's against our charter, wouldn't it just disappear?
It's not in our, it's just not in our purview. It would be conveyed, and the president would probably just say that. Yeah. Representative Ossoff.
Oh, sorry. I just think that resolutions should come up as chair. One should just see if it's procedurally correct or not. And as long as something's procedurally correct, it should come up. If you're looking at Robert's rules, especially when bylaws are as confusing as ours, I just didn't feel like standing. But if bylaws are as confusing as ours, where there isn't like clear direction for the chair and the chair is left to decide with Robert's rule, because it is a tough situation for the chair to be in too. At that point, you sh like I think one should just see if something is procedurally correct, and it should come forward. As for jurisdiction, like we have told Handshake to do stuff. We have told like different bodies of this campus, which is way beyond our jurisdiction. So I think we shouldn't look at that when we're bringing a resolution forward. As for the context of the resolution, if that's something that should pass or not, or go forward from the student assembly, that should be decided during debates, in second and third reading calendar.
Representative Sakic.
I mean, I completely agree with kind of what's been said so far. I think that even if you agree or disagree, all these resolutions should be put to the floor. And I think that it might sound a little bit logical to kind of dismiss it for being outside of our purview. But I think it's been mentioned before. Forgive me, I don't remember who said it. But we have resolutions that are not within our purview all the time. And it's kind of because if the assembly decides to make a statement by voting on something, we still allow it. Like, for example, it's something that's even a sort of administrative policy on the printing rule for student for camp and not allowing professors to have a certain amount of a printing cap. The printing cap resolution, that's not in our purview at all, but we still allowed it and passed it because it's a statement and allows to kind of signal to the faculty senate that this is an issue we would want to help solve and work on. And so I think that dismissing any sort of resolution for that kind of reasoning is a little bit flawed and not supported by precedent. And I'm kind of a free speech absolutist, and I really believe in discussion and debate. I think that, almost if there's a resolution presented and written by a member of the assembly, it should be put on the reading calendar. And like Max said, I think it's a decision of the assembly as a whole via voting if we approve, deny, or motion to table it. So I would also, like Max said, recommend everyone vote yes on this motion to appeal the decision of the chair.
Vice President Watkins.
I move to close debate.
No second. Is there dissent? Okay, seeing none. Debate is now closed. We'll go into voting on this motion. All those in favor of the motion to appeal chair. That is a clear majority. I'll take a count in case it's relevant to the minutes, but pretty sure that's a unanimous vote. Okay, all those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Facing none. Obviously, motion has passed. We'll add this as resolution 61. We'll most likely not get to it for a minute. All right, moving into the second reading calendar, we'll begin with resolution 36, establishing a Student Assembly Year-Round Grant and Review Committee.
My foot was asleep. We're okay now. I just look a little. Okay. We're good now. We're good now. Okay. So yeah, I appreciate people coming out to speak about this because I think it's definitely an important thing that we shouldn't take lightly what we're going to do with these with our reserve funds because we have a lot of them and we can do a lot of good work with it. So I totally respect what's been said about making it more if we were to continue with this to make it more detailed. And of course, if we were to make any committee, would obviously have to have more rules and regulations about how we would distribute this money. But I still do think it's, I think it's a positive step, making because like right now it's kind of hard for, if students want to do something in the in a shorter break or something, they can't get, I don't know, transportation or something that's for an important educational thing that they want to do or opportunity. I think it can be a good tool for them to access that. But I also know that we talked a little bit about this. Not, I know Zora was speaking with people about whether this is like doable or how this would work at all. So I'll stop now and just like to hear what you guys have to say and if this is and if anyone has any information about the feasibility of this,
Oh,
please.
can I add on real quick? Yeah, agree with everything Dylan said. I think we'd again be willing to see a motion to table for a week, just because I think we were supposed to have a conversation with Zoran and Hayden, and neither of us got around to it, about like the logistics of it. But before we go and do that, if people have general comments about the resolution, we'd love to hear it, as of right now, before like we go and like go back to work on it a little bit more.
Representative Ward.
I am a big fan of this resolution, but I do also think it needs a little bit more specificity. I think like we really should be including a little bit more about like the review process and like what the committee will be doing in this specifically. Like I think maybe we should try to model it after existing like funding applications that exist throughout like the colleges. And most of them, I also think maybe I don't know if $5,000, like it was kind of mentioned that $5,000, you can't really, access that many students with that with $100,000. So maybe considering like lowering that cap a little just so we can have a larger like scope of impact. And I think also just, yeah, being really specific about the application process and what that would be like. I think it is worth putting in our time now to put those specificities in there so that it's not something that's just, like left up in there and later. And maybe if, we want to be clear about legitimacy and that sort of thing, like including a short recommendation letter, either like, your job or wherever, it's coming from, like a professor or anything like that. And I also think is this is kind of a question, I guess, but are we also maintaining like the summer experience grant? At the same time as this, and like if we are, maybe we want to specify like throughout the year besides the summer so we don't have that overlap.
I mean, I don't really know. It's more of a question of like if they're gonna be running like simultaneously or not. But yeah, that's just my tidbits.
Yeah, thank you for that. But definitely, I think those are all good notes. And I'll just on your last question, I right now as it is, we're not touching the summer experience grant or trying to alter that in any way. But so.
Representative Ehrlich.
I moved to table for a week.
Is there dissent to that motion to table? Seeing none, this resolution has been tabled.
Oh, I guess can I dissent?
Oh, you're dissenting? Okay. We'll now go into voting on the motion to table. All those in favor of tabling this resolution for 1 week, please raise your placards and keep them raised. Seventeen. All those opposed. Okay, three. All those abstaining. Okay, vote 17, 3, 1. This resolution has been tabled for 1 week. Now, Vice President Watkins.
Considering we have guests for this resolution, I move to move resolution 53 and 54 as the next two items we discuss.
There a second? Is there dissent to that motion to move resolutions 53 and 54 up in the second reading calendar? Is there dissent? Okay, seeing none, resolution, we'll now discuss resolution 53, which is approving special project requests for the International Fair Society at Cornell.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Linda. I am the VP of Finance for the Cornell International Affairs Society. I am here with my president.
Ethan Kellogg.
And we are requesting $5,000 from the Special Projects Fund for our most recent travel teams competition at the University of Toronto for a Model UN conference.
On the agenda. Is it not on the agenda?
The appendices are not included in today's agenda just because of printing capacity. Yeah, so it has to be, yeah, they're in box. You
They're
have to view them in
digital, like an
box.
appendices folder in the box. Wait, sorry, you just said that.
Okay, Representative Causey.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask a question for the record. Do you have an application process and can you describe it to us?
So no, we do not have an application process for the club. The club is overall anybody who wants to join can join. For the actual travel team, we always have capacity constraints just because of funding, not because we want to make it exclusive for anyone. But for the sake of fairness, we try to make sure that anybody who applies to go to a conference, unless there is some other issue that comes up or some logistical issue that comes up, can go to at least one conference per year. This is to make it as fair as possible for everyone and make sure that everyone can accrue debate skills at the Model UN conferences.
Representative Sekig.
For posterity purposes, I'm going to be honest. I was a member of the Cornell International Affairs Society, and I was the previous VP of Finance. They do some great work. Like they said, anyone who wants to go to a conference can. All you have to do is help. Actually participate in the conference, in the club. You can't go to a conference without doing nothing, which is, I think, a model other clubs on campus should follow. And so I'm really in support of this resolution. And that's all I really have to say.
Representative Gal. Is there a second to ending debate? Is there a dissent to the motion to end debate? Okay, seeing none, debate is now ended. All those in favor of approving this resolution through to the third reading calendar, please raise your placards. Yes, it does. Sorry, that does we haven't done second reading in like a couple of weeks. That motion and debate does approve this through to the second reading calendar. That is third reading calendar. That is my bad. You are all set for this week. Now moving to resolution 54, approving special projects f request for the Cornell Persian Students Organization.
I just wanted to share with you guys a bit about what NODU actually is. It's truly not just an event for Persian students. It's celebrated by millions of people across
Shireen,
the
can
globe.
you speak a little closer to the mic,
Oh,
please?
sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
So NODU is truly not just an event for Persian students, but it's celebrated by people across Central Asia, the Middle East, the Caucasus, and beyond. And it really just transcends above one nationality. It's just a celebration of renewal and spring and shared humanity. And at Cornell, that means it's not just for one community. It creates space for students from many cultural backgrounds and from anyone interested to learn to come together. Our event's open to all and directly aligns with the Special Projects Fund's mission to im support inclusive programming. It's truly not just a cultural celebration, but it's just an opportunity for connection. We're going to have Persian food catered from Syracuse and traditional Persian music being played for people to really get into the spirit of the spring solstice.
Representative Galperin.
Sounds wonderful. I'd love to sit.
Second, okay, their dissent. Okay, seeing none, this resolution has been approved through to the third reading calendar. Moving to resolution 41, restructuring the executive board.
Okay, we're back with restructuring exec. There's not too much I want to add on to this. I feel like we kind of got the point across, and I think me and Ishan are both aware that this, has a pretty good chance of not necessarily making it through. But I do think it served as a good reminder, or I guess, yeah, I guess a reminder is probably a good word. For executive board, and I think we've seen some more action. Thor with his updates. Christian, he scheduled the executive cabinet meeting as well as, more initiatives on new member education. So I do think that, we've seen better action, and I hope we continue to see that. I don't know if Ishan has anything he'd like to add on to this, but I mean, I think our message is still pretty clear that we just felt like exec wasn't doing what they could do or had the capacity to do. And this kind of served as a reminder. And yes, we could have conversations. Yes, we could, talk about it on the side, but this kind of brought it to the forefront, and really established that we wanted to see a change. Ishan, I don't know if you wanted to.
I think Lydia kind of hit everything. I definitely want to underscore the fact that like I think exec is doing a lot better. So shout out Thor, shout out Christian. Like everyone's been like doing stuff. Kennedy and Daniel both like brought a resolution up today, which is great. I think the thing I want to underscore though is that I think this is kind of a wake-up call for all of Assembly. I think it's really, really awesome that we have so many different resolutions from so many different people, but this is also how it should have looked like back in like October, not how it looks like in February today. Like still things like new member education and stuff like that, like having it in March is just so late. And I think that's like why we get resolutions like what we're getting today. Like not to like shade like anyone in particular, but there definitely are resolutions here that like that are going to be addressed later that I think a new member education would have like very, very, very much so would have helped out with kind of helping people understand how to structure resolutions, how to write them, as well as like how to go and be a productive member of Student Assembly. But I'm just really, really proud of everyone for doing all the action that they've been doing. Zora said at the last time we presented this that exec works when exec is working. And now that you guys are, I think we're very happy to table this resolution indefinitely.
Vice President Flournoy.
Yeah, just want to say, just kind of like I said, overall, take full responsibility for executive cabinet meetings that were kind of missed this past fall. Dealing with my dislocated elbow and also with the referendum and leading that process at the same time.
It took a lot more of my time and attention than I did anticipate. But as you said, Lydia, we just had our first executive cabinet meeting for this year, and we have them scheduled for the rest of the semester. So we kind of have that structure and focus moving forward. And then also just in regard to like NME, making sure that we're having that this semester, because we were able to have it last semester as well, even though it was a little later. But just kind of like, yeah, thank y'all, and just make sure we keep it up too.
Vice President Watkins.
Love you both, but I am against this resolution, but I am very appreciative of what it's accomplished. I just feel on exec, there's more that you have to do simply than just like being in charge of a committee. Like VP Finance specifically, I've got special projects. That's not something that runs through Finance Committee. Also, all of us on exec are supposed to sort of serve as like an advisory role for all the committees under like our jurisdiction. So that's been like Representative Dorward with the Infrastructure Fund and Representative Har or Hahn with the Financial Review Committee. I hope you guys have felt comfortable to reach out to me if you've had things, but I think there's like more to exec than simply just like being on a committee. We also have like executive committee, like our own exec meetings that go beyond simply like the executive cabinet as well. So yeah, that's my bad.
I took, oh, sorry, you got it, Lydia.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Ishan. Go ahead.
I totally agree with everything you said, Hayden. I don't, I especially for like VP of Finance, I think that's very fair. But I do feel like all three of the other VPs were like definitely slacking in that regard, which is why this was brought up in the first place. Now that things have changed, I'm really like happy to see it. But I do think that like people should consider the fact that like we had an exec that was slacking for so long and wasn't doing all the things that you were mentioning, and wasn't like acting as kind of like in this advisory role. Which is why we need to like, now that we're here now and like starting the right resolutions and things are starting to get like move forward, I just really think we have to underscore that we have to keep this up. Like we said, if people don't really, if people think this will hurt, we're happy to table this resolution indefinitely. I personally can't motion for that, but I do think that this did light a very necessary fire under all of your asses.
Yeah, I'm also in favor of like motioning to table it indefinitely, but I just wanted to make sure everyone said what they wanted to say before we wrap this up. But yeah.
Representative Carson.
Yeah, I agree. I think, this is a good thing. I think it might be a little unwieldy if we did it this way. There'd be a lot of people in exec, and I don't know. I think it'd be hard to manage. But I do wonder if we could do something similar to like how there's like the attendance policy, where if you do four, then you have to inform them and vote to like unseat or something like that. Like if we could do this, like if they didn't, if an executive board member didn't follow with like a certain portion of the bylaws that gives like, that says like you have to do this monthly, or if you did bi-monthly or semesterly, and if they don't do that, then we would re be required to vote to, I guess, unseat them or remove them from their executive position or not. I don't know if that's something doable, but that could be something, an enforcement mechanism in some way.
I agree with that. If people want to like motion to amend it, we're very open to that as well.
Representative Ehrlich.
Think we've practically exhausted this. All I really want to add is that just because we've mentioned exec stepping it up, I just wanted to mention Daniel also came to Academic Policy Committee and took the lead on something and has been very helpful. So I just wanted to shout him out for that, just because while we're shouting out people on exec who are picking up the pace. But that's all I wanted to add. I think we're good. I move to table this indefinitely.
Second to the motion to table indefinitely, is there dissent to that motion? Okay, seeing none, this resolution has been tabled indefinitely. We'll now move to resolution 48, public comment duration.
You are sponsored.
Wait, I can do it if you want me to, Lydia, or you got it?
I didn't really author it, so I feel like I shouldn't.
Oh, is Christian back? Great.
You need me a favor?
Point of inquiry, when do we have the room until?
Public comment.
Oh. All right. I mean, I suppose there's not much more to say than what was said last week. We all have our opinions on this. I think this is a really good way for us to make sure that we are able to like do what we need to do while also allowing everyone to have the chance to speak. I mean, today we had a bunch of public comment, and it worked out, and I'm, that's great.
I know this is only like for like those very, very rare cases when we're kind of like blocked from like voting and stuff like that. So I don't know, does anyone else do you, Ishan, do you
You wait, yeah, agreed. I like again, like underscoring example that Hayden gave. Like we've literally had people who've come here from like byline orgs, and have waited for like two, three meetings just because public comment has been so long and like business of the day has like taken so long. And then because of that, it's like they had to just like come back and back and back again, eventually just to get their own funding cut, which I think is ridiculous. Like we definitely need to have some sort of carve out in there to make sure that like we can actually go and vote on things. So yeah.
Okay, Representative Galbraith. No, Vice President Young, sorry.
Point of order, what was the reasoning behind Sir Kane speaking?
Yeah, executive precedent. That is how I have chaired this entire, both of my terms actually, as chair. And also recency. She has not spoken nearly as much in this meeting. So,
student assembly history before this presidency, there is no speaking order. All representatives have equal speaking.
Point of personal privilege. Is it
recognized?
I just want to mention that like you never recognized this point of order as far as I could tell, and also since you're so into Robert's rules, that would have been worth noticing, and also that like we have certain things that we've done for a long time that are processes. So like I'm just gonna say that just because like I'm tired of you arguing with the chair about this all the time. At least if you're not gonna get your thing recognized, so.
Okay, Vice President Young.
Vice
President Young. Vice President Young.
I hear the concerns of this resolution, but I feel it feels a bit undemocratic to me in a way to limit public comment duration. I would like to note that it has come to my attention that Executive Vice President has the right to respond to public comment. So in the matter that we have multiple public comments and we know that we are all in the same consensus that what they're talking about, that we're going to fix it, I think that Executive Vice President should just say, like, I hear you guys, I appreciate you guys, but I want you guys to know that this is something that the general body, we have a consensus of, that it will go this way. And I think that will prevent public comment from going so long, because the only reason why people feel the need to constantly keep speaking and speaking and speaking because they think that it's something that we're not in support of. So I think that instead of just limiting public comment duration, that executive vice president should just use their privilege more to speak in response to public comment.
I think that's a very valid tool that we can use to try to like reduce public comment. But at the same time, like I recall, what was it? I think one example was like the athletic one, where like I think everyone had their mind made up after like the 12th public comment at least, and then we literally went till like 8:30, 9 p.m. Like I think people like there's a certain extent where like they're kind of here and they're waiting for several hours to speak, and so they're gonna say their piece regardless. I think this sort of encourages people maybe to like, I don't know, collaborate a little bit, and like if you both have the same idea, you can like speak together, or like I don't really know, but like have because the life cycle of these of these things is at least two meetings and more if they're tabled, that's at least 40 speakers. That's a lot. So I just felt like that's like a pretty reasonable number. Like that's more than enough 99% of the time.
Yeah. Adding on to that as well, we like I think this also again boils down to the point of like we don't do things that like we've been outlined the power to do. Like there's so many things in our governing documents that like student assembly theoretically is supposed to do, and then people just don't end up actually doing. I think the concern is fair, but what Christian said, like I think it's more than enough time for people to voice their opinions, A, and B, I don't really think it's undemocratic, because I'm pretty sure that like every single type of like local, county, and state government that have like open public comment also have a limit on said public comment as well. Because at the end of the day, legislators need to go and like legislate. So I don't think it's that bad. We've given more than enough carve out inside. We're willing to amend if you guys think we need even more carve outs. But I do think we've had very, very poor situations even this year itself, where we've had people who've come to assembly meetings expecting a result, and then it just doesn't happen because we lose the room because there's just too much public comment.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that it's actually more democratic if we're able to vote on it in the end. But also one, yeah, as Ishan was bringing up, like things like calling for decorum and like, you know, actually one point I brought in the resolution is that like we can't set a limit on that meeting's public comment without sounding like we're intentionally like stifling free speech. And this is not what this is. It's like by setting this like expansive limit, like we're letting so many people speak and, you know, also allowing us to do what we need to do, you know? Like, but if we come into a meeting where there's like some contentious issue and we say, oh, sorry guys, we're only gonna let 20 people talk today, just imagine how terrible that would be, you know? Like I'm trying to protect everyone here, you know?
EVPs for Noah.
I definitely think like I kind of understand like that part about not wanting to like seem biased or anyway, but I also think that one thing that we've done like many times before, I mean, while what VP Young said, but like the chair has been able to allow for specific time limits for speakers, even if that's like increased of the 3 minutes, even if it's less, even if it's the whole time for public comment. And I think that like it really should allow us as a body, or maybe if it's just the chair, to like be able to adjust that, because being able, if it's going to be an issue that people really, really care about and really passionate about, and we do need to hear a lot about, and potentially what if it's not, we don't have a lot on the agenda or anything like that. I think it can be very circumstantial, and that like what we've done before in terms of precedent, as you keep talking about, the chair typically makes that decision. And oftentimes it has been like an hour or to like 5:30 or 5:45 or something like that with certain speaking times. And while it has gone long, that doesn't mean that we haven't necessarily like not heard from people that are actually ending up to speak.
I
I mean,
think,
yeah.
if I want, I just want to respond to that really briefly, Ishan. You could say your bit. I think we're not removing the ability for the chair or for us to motion to change like the limit or whatever it is. Like I think this is just setting like a default, like a new default, and the chair can still, you know, say, actually, you know, today we want to do 2 hours, or you know, or they could say we want to do 30 minutes. I just think that this is a much more balanced approach that would be better for, you know, both our constituents and also for us as a body.
Yeah, I also think you're really underselling the previous public comments that we have. Like, we're not talking about the meetings that run until 5:30. I don't think you remember the athlete one where we were literally here until like 7:30, I want to say, or something crazy like that. Like, we had to move rooms, and then I think there was still more public comment after we moved rooms too. Like, it's ridiculous, like sometimes, like just like how long some of them like drag out. And I like really appreciate people like coming, voicing their opinions and things like that, but like it literally prohibited us from going and voting on things, and then it gives the assembly fatigue where everything after that one contentious resolution we just go and like send through. Like we ended up passing during that meeting, I think, like Davian's thing about like the sleeping pods or like whatever that like had no backing, and then we like passed like Getulio's like wanting to go and like restructure like the healthcare plan that we had like zero jurisdiction over just because people wanted to go and were just like, yeah, I want to just get out of the meeting altogether. I think it provides a good carve out. And again, like I think it's kind of crazy you're setting precedent when literally this year itself, we've had so many people like literally miss their opportunity to get to go and like present to us because public comment just dragged on too long. Like the current mechanisms we have just aren't enough.
Okay, I think I have kind of the sense that I feel like everyone here has already made up their minds. We also have like 20 more resolutions to go through, which is crazy. So I would like to motion to end debate.
Second.
There's dissent to the motion to end debate. There is dissent. So we'll now vote on the motion to end debate. All those in favor of ending debate, please raise your placards. Keep them raised.
So
You need a max, I don't know.
Okay, 19, all those opposed. For all those abstaining. And a vote of 19-4-3, debate is now closed, and this resolution has been passed to the third reading calendar for next week. Now we'll move to resolution 49, attendance callouts.
Okay. Yes, this is also me. Finally, I'm doing my resolutions. It's been a couple of weeks where they've kind of been pushed back. All right, yeah. So this is kind of along the trend that of those resolutions that we've been writing, which is sort of like addressing like some issues we've been having with the assembly in general. I think this is so just a quick overview is this is to verbally announce for the record when representatives like depart early or when they're absent. The first one, when they're absent, I would just part of this is having the clerk like mention like, oh, like people who are not absent, like A, B, and C. That just makes sure that like we have an accurate like thing of like who's here and who's not here. And just like recording when people leave early. I think we've had like a lot of people leave before six. So this is specifically, I said, you know, if you leave before 15 minutes preceding the scheduled adjournment time, which is 6 p.m., that it's without interrupting the person who is speaking, it's spoken and put in the record for the minutes. I think this just like kind of addresses an issue we've just been seeing recently, and bringing more accountability to the assembly. I think it's pretty straightforward.
I'm also sponsoring this one too. I do think this is kind of a fun, unique idea. I don't think it's really going to harm anybody. I think it just brings accountability to the assembly.
Okay, Vice President Watkins.
I love this, and I think we also have a lot of resolutions today. And I think that debate truly will probably not change your mind on this wherever you stand. So I moved to close debate.
This has to be counted.
All right, is there a second?
Dissent.
Second. There's is there dissent?
Dissent.
There is dissent. All those in favor of closing debate on resolution 49, please raise your placards. Seventeen. All opposed. Seventeen, 12, all those abstaining. Seven in a vote, 17, 12, 1. Debate is now closed and this resolution has moved to the third reading calendar for next week. Although we'll now move to resolution 50, tri-semesterly committee chair and liaison reports.
All right. Yes, again, this one's pretty straightforward. Basically, the idea here is to have the assembly select three spread out dates across the semester, each semester, so that like it's like a designated time for each committee or committee chair or liaison to discuss their progress or like their obstacles or whatever it is. Just so that like we can all sort of like hear about what's going on, keep people motivated, like keep things moving, but also like if things are being blocked so that we can help each other out and address them before it becomes like, you know, halfway through the semester and then we kind of like give up on trying to do anything, that sort of thing. So yeah, like this would just have like the first meeting, we would set three dates, and then on those dates, each representative would speak about it.
I think this goes along really nicely with what you guys maybe hastily passed last week. And I hope everyone is aware of, you know, kind of what that meant. Like the chair-to-chair information transfer and just kind of I think Ishan's point of like writing a paragraph of what you did during assembly. This kind of follows along in the same lines. I think this is a really good idea. And as much as I like, you know, maybe don't have things to report every weekend as or every week as a committee chair. I do appreciate when people do share out, and I do put like the dates of your guys' meetings in my calendar, even though I think we're supposed to have a shared one. But anyways, I do put the dates in my calendar, and I keep up to date with like who's meeting when and stuff like that, just because I am truly interested in it. So I think this is a good resolution.
Representative Khan.
I think this sounds good, but I'm just a little confused as to why we need specific dates when this sounds like it could be something that is just said during office reports. I think setting specific dates, I think from what we've seen this semester, it probably hinders us more than helps us. And we have a lot of things to go through, and I think this is something that probably simply could just be spoken about during office reports instead of having specific dates set. So we could probably talk about more pressing things on our agenda. Not saying that the office reports are not pressing, but I mean
Yeah.
resolutions and others things like that.
Yeah, my
thinking here is that, like, think of all the chairs and whatever that we haven't heard from. If nothing happens in your committee, you don't end up talking about it in your officer reports. I mean, you're not going to raise your hand and be like, "Yeah, I didn't do anything." So, I guess the idea here is that, like, okay, we're going to go down the line on, X date and say, like, okay, are you having any blockages? How can we help you? What are some of your wins? Anything like that. I think it's a good way to, get a read on what's happening, because I think right now there are a lot of committees that are kind of just like silently like flying under the radar. Yeah, I mean, that's all. Ishan, I think, has his hand raised.
Oh, I'm not a sponsor on this one, but
Oh,
like,
never mind.
okay, Representative Ehrlich.
I yield my time to him?
This one's a certifiable Christian Torala W. I like this one. I often don't like your resolutions. No shade, like respect to you, but this one's great. Love it, love it, love it. I move to close debate because we should get to everything else.
Well, that's
Okay,
great.
there's
I move to close
second.
debate.
Is there the so there's second. Is there dissent?
Sit.
There is dissent. All those. Okay. Oh my God. Now going to voting on the motion to end debate. All those in favor of the motion to end debate, please raise your placards. That. Twenty-two. All those opposed. Two. All those abstaining. One. The two. All right. Vote 22 to 2. This resolution has been approved through to the third reading calendars. We will third reading calendar. We will now move to resolution 51. Oh, this is mine. Updating the bylaws with a contingency plan for vacancies in the independent offices. I'll see the chair. Hello, just as Representative has been asking for a bit, I wrote out a bylaws proposed a bylaw amendment with a plan for vacancies in the independent offices. So just as basic background, beginning of last year made these offices like independent. We've run into a few issues since then, so this is kind of making okay, one thing that's really important to me is that the independent offices procedures mirror each other, and so that they are identical procedures. So I will explain there are two major like amendments made, and I will explain where each of them come from because one comes from a vacancy or well, the current vacancy in the office of in the director of the Office of Ethics position, and the other one comes from an issue in the former director of the Office of Elections, and that wasn't necessarily a vacancy, but it was a whole issue. So the first point, I don't have the red line version in front of me. I apologize, my computer died, which is that. Well, actually, first, as a note, the internal nominee from whatever office, shall be subject to a confirmation vote by the assembly at the organizational meeting, which is referenced in the bylaws as well, because that's one thing that we haven't really done, which is just that it's taking the internal nomination, and then there was a form of confirmation, but there wasn't a timeline for when the confirmation vote needed to happen. So that was part of what kind of messed us up this year was that the confirmation was honored, but then there was actually a need for a confirmation vote, and then it was taken really late. And so that was one issue that has really no story to it other than I was just reading through the bylaws and found that it made sense to attach it to the org meeting. And then at any point in the academic year, a vote of no confidence may be called by any voting member of the student assembly, at which point the director of the Office of blank because it applies for both of them, shall be subject to a vote of reconfirmation. This comes from the fact that in the fall of 2024, which few people here were elected in those elections were actually held in the last week, I believe, of the semester in the fall of 2024, because Adriana Vink was our director of elections at that point, and she did not respond to any communications from any member of the executive board. And we were all trying to chase her down, get her to give answers to whether she was going to do her job, whether she was going to leave her post. And we got no responses from, again, former director of elections until I think like mid-November, when then Director Gillinson was also able to take on that role, come up with a last minute calendar and kind of fill that seat. But that was because there were no members of the office to like internally decide that the director should be removed. And so we had this issue where the director was just able to exist because there was no capacity for a vote of no confidence to be taken by the assembly. And therefore removal could not happen of someone who is not doing their job in an independent office, because the whole point of independence is that, you know, they're independent, but that kind of went too far. So that's where that came from. And then the second bit, which is in the event of the nominee for director failing a confirmation vote, the president of the student assembly shall, in coordination with the office of the assemblies and vice president for communications, distribute a call for candidates to the Cornell undergraduate community. Any interested and eligible Cornell undergraduate student shall be welcome to apply. The student assembly shall fill the vacant director seat within 6 weeks of the call or by the third to last regularly scheduled meeting of the academic year, whichever date is earliest. The whole bit with a 6 week time limit is again so that the assembly cannot like drag this out and have either no director of the Office of Ethics or no director of the Office of Elections for like an undue period. And then the third to last regularly scheduled meeting of the academic year serves two purposes. One, if there is an election that needs to be held, those need to be figured out a long time before the end of the term. And so if you were like, oh, well, we're just going to confirm a new director at the end, you know, the last week, well, you probably cannot have an election be held within that period. And then on the, for both of them, for both independent offices, say the director then needed to stand up their committee, which is then still within their charge, because this the edits that I proposed are only about the director. The membership of the office has it will still be determined by the director. I don't believe that the assemblies should be choosing the membership of either, just because there's some issue with the director seat. And then the third to last regularly scheduled meeting part is in case that person the new director does need to stand up a committee that necessarily the independent office that hasn't worked or that has all quit or whatever may have happened, they have a few weeks to do so. And then that new office can do their internal election procedure of a new chair by the end of the academic year, propose that for the next term's assembly to confirm. Very open to feedback and suggestions. I don't have a pen on me, but still hopefully we'll be able to remember any feedback I get. But I just want to propose something because it has been asked.
Representative Ehrlich.
Good job. I like it. I didn't see anyone else raise their placard to speak. I don't want to cut anyone off, but didn't see it. So I'm going to move to close debate.
Is there a second? Any dissent?
Wait, I'm here. No.
I think that's out of order, is it not?
Unfortunately, Ishan, you cannot dissent. You're not a voting member. Seeing the dissent, we will go into voting on any debate. So, all those in favor of any debate, please raise your placards.
Just withdraw.
Keep looking up. All those opposed?